Good afternoon, family. My name is Michael.
Hey, Michael.
And I'm a proud member of Narcotics Anonymous. I suffer from a disease called addiction when I fail to remember when. But for his grace and mercy, there go I. I was looking at the topic, but before I go to that, I would just like to thank the committee and Erica for asking me to come out and share my experience, strength and hope in living and dying clean in recovery. My clean date is June 12, 1986. And for those of you who are too lazy to do the math, come June of this year, I will have 29 years. Thank you. And I looked at that, and on my tag it says, a miracle four, and I added it up, and it came up to 10,585 days. Wow. One day at a time.
Yeah.
That's a miracle in itself. And as I look at this convention here, I just missed the first convention by, I guess, about a month and a half. I was still out there trying my own way. And it wasn't until I ended up with the three ODs in 1 week. And my wife telling me that it was time to go get some help, or she was going to leave me. You know, I don't believe in accidents. I believe that God governs all events. And I never forget the day that she left that morning. I cut the TV on. A certain treatment center came across the screen. And right then and there, I made up my mind, one, that I didn't want her to leave me, and two, that if I just get me some help for a little while, then I could probably go back out and go back in front of Dottie's with that RC and Honey Bun. Let me say this. I'm a product of the 50s, y'all. I'm going to tell y'all my age. You remember the diamond in the back, sun rooftop, digging the scene with the gangster name? See, a lot of y'all don't remember that. And I say that because miracles do happen beyond measures. And I can recall being in the White Law. And I know y'all don't care what I use, how much I use, who my connections were, or what I did in the past. But if I need to tell my story, you know, and that's what my late sponsor told me of 29 years plus, and his name was Gerard A., and better known as Crudball Shorty. He told me, Michael, if you ever forget your story, you're destined to repeat it. But then he also told me, if you think you got it, you just lost it. And that's been my story through these almost 29 years, the transformation, the transition of being clean and venturing off into the journey of recovery. And it's truly been a process for me. You know, but let me just let y'all in on who Michael is. You know, and I know I got like 20 minutes and I'm trying to get all this in before the 20 minutes is up. But, you know, my first mind-altering substance was at the age of three. And I guess people are saying, at the age of three? And yes, at the age of three. My brother, who was five at the time, reached up on the dresser and pulled down a bottle of children's one-a-day aspirins. And he opened the cap, because back in that day, they didn't have the child-proof caps on. He just twisted, he gave it to me. I ended up eating the whole bottle. I remember that trip just like it was yesterday. I remember psychedelic colored fish swimming around my head, and I remember picking bugs off of my mother. At least that's what I thought that I was doing. And she realized right then and there something was wrong. She looked up on the counter, and I'm just telling you what she told me. And she realized that the bottle was gone. She pulled the sheets back. She found the bottle. She took her fingers, stuck them down my throat. And some of the pills came up, but a lot of them had already dissolved. As a result of, I ended up in a coma for 3 days. You know, they say God takes care of fools and babies. And I've been both. And I remember her telling me that the doctors told her that if she believed in prayer, and she believed in a higher power or God at that particular time, then she needed to call on him now. Because they had did everything that they could do, and the only thing left was God intervention. And I was in that coma for 3 days, and my mother told me she stayed the whole 3 days, prayed all 3 days until my eyes opened up. And that's how God works. You know, God has always been for me, not to me. But I didn't know that in the process until I got into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. That he's always done things for me. I always looked at it, why is he doing this to me? You know, and come to find out, he was doing things for me all along, not to me. Because, you see, when I got here in 1986, you know, I was smoking cigarettes just as long as I was shooting dope. And I remember in my second year of recovery, I went to bed that night and I woke up and my lung had collapsed. They called it a spontaneous pneumothorax. See, you learn these things when stuff starts happening to you. You know what I mean? All of a sudden you become this technical doctor. You know? And I remember, and I said, well, how did this happen? Once again, how did this happen to me? You know, I just went to bed that night and I woke up and my lung had collapsed over my lungs. And I had drove from Germantown, because I'm from Washington, D.C., but now I live in the suburbs, you know. And I remember driving from Germantown on July 20th, and I never forget, I was still trying to smoke this cigarette, and it was like 80 and almost 90 degrees that day, and for some reason I just could not inhale it. So I plucked it out the window, went on to work, tried to light up another one, still couldn't inhale it. And I remember my doctor, who was an RN at that time, my sister, who was an RN at that time, she said, Michael, son, you might be having a heart attack. Because I kept telling her I'm feeling some burning sensation in my chest. She said, you might be having a heart attack. I think you need to go check yourself into a hospital. So I did that. And I remember seeing these three white coats coming towards me. And that didn't look good. And they said, Mr. McClain, we need you to come to the back room. And I went to the back room, and they told me that my lung had collapsed over my heart. And it was a miracle, because I should have passed out. But for some reason, I was able to get to the hospital. They did the surgery. They stuck a tube through my right side, inflated my lung. I stayed in the hospital for 10 days. And I never forget when I came out of the sedation period, and I looked over at this machine, was all this black tar in this glass case. And I asked the doctor, I said, what is that? She said, that's the nicotine and tar that was in your lungs, coming from smoking cigarettes. And I said, oh, really? So I said, well, look, my doctor came. I said, doctor, I can't stop smoking cigarettes. I tried all the methods. I broke up the cigarettes at night and then ended up in the morning trying to put them back together. See, I'm talking my story. See, a lot of y'all don't know about that. You know, but that's what I did. I would break up cigarettes and throw them away, in the same way I would throw my works away, and then go back and find them. You know what I mean? So I knew the behavior, and I remember telling my doctor, I said, listen, I just can't stop smoking. He said, well, look, all I can tell you to do is you have to stop or you're going to find yourself back in here again. And I want you to remember one thing. And I never forget, he said, you remember that pain? Do you remember that pain? And I said, oh, yeah, I definitely remember that pain. He said, well, every time you go to pick up a cigarette, think about that pain. And I remember calling my late sponsor at that time and some other people in the fellowship. And I said, man, they tell me I can't smoke cigarettes no more. You know, I shot dope just as long as I smoked. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And everybody that I talked to said, all you need to do is pray to have him to remove the compulsion and the obsession. And I did that for the time that I was in that hospital. And I'll never forget it. When I left that hospital, July 29th, 1988, I have never picked up another cigarette. Miracles do happen. Miracles truly happen. Now, I'm not saying that to scare anybody that's still out there puffing. Please, 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 please. I'm not trying to tell you. I'm just telling y'all my story. You know, because I'm just getting to what's going on with me right now. You see, and through that process, you know, and working with people in the fellowship and going to meetings, you know, building that foundation. Thank God for the foundation. You know, thank God. And they say you're going to make bad decisions here, because I don't believe in mistakes. I believe in bad decisions. You know, because God, and if you want to break that down for those who don't believe in God, just look at it as G-O-D, good orderly direction. You know, and that's how it was simple for me in the beginning. You know, I had to look at it for just for some good orderly direction. But see, I believed in a God. I believed in a higher power. Because see, I saw the miracles that were actually happening in my life. You know, and I'm going to kind of fast forward, you know, through this process, through the steps, through going to meetings, through being in service, working in treatment centers, opening up recovery houses. These are the things that I remember sharing with my higher power, that if you just give me a chance, if you just show me this new way of life, I will turn my life over to you. And I say, be careful what you ask for. You see, because see, when he turned my life back to me by way of Narcotics Anonymous, things started to happen. Miracles begin to happen. You know, all I had to do was put myself in position, and blessings begin to pour. And before I knew it, I found myself operating a multi-million dollar company. I found myself owning several homes in the real estate endeavors. I found myself having my wife able to retire, because I always dreamed. You know, a good addict, I loved to dream when I had that hype in my arm. You know, when I had that hype, I was a good dreamer. You know what I mean? And I can remember being walking in the malls, and I used to see the women pushing the babies in their carriage. And it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, they should be at work. Well, how is it that they can push their children in their carriage and not be at work? Because they had good husbands. They had people that was providing for them. And I said, well, you know, if I ever get to the point and he blesses me with the gift to be able to let my wife retire, I'm going to allow her to retire. And my wife hadn't worked in 15 years, you know, and she's pushing my grandbabies now around the mall. Miracles do happen beyond measures. You know, and I remember going to one of the conventions in Detroit, and I met this guy out of New Orleans. Not knowing that at that particular time, his sponsor was a guy by the name of Brother Rick out of St. Louis. And he lived in New Orleans. And I never forget, he said, strange things happen on the way to recovery. And that stuck. That stuck with me. And as I continue to grow in this process, in 2010, and let me share this, because, you know, sometimes, you know, I suffer from well-ism. You know, when, you know, this thing can really get good to the point that I'm thinking, I'm doing this. You know, I'm doing this. You know, I'm doing this. Let me handle this now. And I never forget, you know, I had the big $1 million home. I had the 30-foot yacht. I had the 5 cars in the driveway, which I still got. But what I'm saying is to say this, because this program only promises us one thing, and that's freedom from active addiction. Everything else that we get in here are blessings from the God of your understanding. Now, be careful what you ask for, once again, because you just might get it, and then you might have to pray to ask him to remove it. Because I've been there too. You know, materialistic things, social acceptability in society, you know, arriving, you know, thinking you're doing it all. But he has a way of getting your attention, because he got mine October of 2010. By way of a massive heart attack. Miracles do happen. And I'm going to share the miracle with you. I was out lunging my horses. You hear what I said? Lunging my horses. I'm talking about a city boy out of Washington, D.C. Never seen a cow. Never seen a goat. Never even thought about a horse. And one of my sponsors that's in here now, he's the reason why I got this horse. I ain't going to break his anonymity. But I still had these horses. So I was out lunging the horses in the back of my mother's house. And I'll never forget that day. She came outside and she saw me sweating. And she said, son, I'm going to go get you some water and bring you something back out to wet the sweat off. She said, but I'm on my way to church. But when I come back out, I will give it to you. It makes me very emotional when I think about this part, because once again, miracles do happen. She had her hand on the doorknob heading out to church, and she turned around and got in her spirit, made her go get the water and glass. And when she came back out, she found me stretched out on the ground. It felt like an elephant. I don't know if anybody had a massive heart attack. It felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. But my mind was saying, Lord, just don't let me go. Don't take me like this. Please don't take me like this. No one was around except my horse looking down at me, wondering what. And I'm looking at him, please, to myself, whatever you do, don't step on me. Please don't step on me. And he stood there. And I'm telling you, I remember before I blacked out, I remember praying to the God of my understanding, asking him, if you just give me one more chance, just give me one more chance, I will be that vehicle for you for the rest of my life. And as soon as I said that, the angels, my mother, by way of my mother-in-law, looked over at me and said, son, 911 is on the way. Miracles do happen. And I remember being in that hospital, and I remember praying, and I remember being confused. You know, I'm very athletic. I wasn't overweight. But let me tell you something. We as African American men, or men period, we have to start looking at that physical aspect of what's going on. Because see, you know, even though you might not be sick, that doesn't mean you're well. It doesn't mean that you're well just because nothing's happening to you right now. It's laying dormant. The bill, as they say, is in the mail. I mean, I shot dope for 20 years. Come on, y'all. You know, and I remember laying in the hospital. You know what? I know I'm a miracle here. Once again, he did something for me, not to me. And I remember when I left that hospital, I said to myself, and I remember saying that prayer once again. You know, I will never, ever allow anything to get in between the God of my understanding and the rooms of narcotics now. You know, so the million-dollar home, the cars and the boats and the ownership of companies don't mean nothing if you don't have your help. You know, so now I get the physicals like I'm supposed to. You know, I told you I was part of the 50s, so this come June, I'll be 62 years old. And I feel great, y'all. I feel fantastic. And I know it is only as a result of this fellowship and God working through people. You know, because this fellowship is an awesome fellowship. It is truly an awesome fellowship. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. And like I said, you know, you get these thoughts, you know, because I know my worst enemy is what's between these two ears. And every now and then, you know, once again, every now and then, he'll tap me on my shoulder just to check in, to let me know that, you know, I'm still here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. I just want to see whether or not you can crack that ledge for me just a teeny bit. You know, and I won't allow it to happen. I don't play with this thing called recovery. You know, and in the process of seeing people transition to the other side, that's the direction I want to go in. Because I got more time behind me than I do in front of me. I don't think y'all heard me. You know, I got more time behind me than I do in front of me. You know. I don't think I got it. I know I don't have another 60. I know I don't. You know, I don't even know if I got tomorrow. Because it's not promised. All I got is just for today. And all I can do is continue to live in the day. But if by a miracle and he allows me and the blessings to move on, there's bigger and better things that I want to do in life. You know, so it's a lot of work that I still have to do in my recovery process. You know, I want to continue to be that father. I want to continue to be that husband. I want to continue to be that employer. I want to continue to be a friend. I want to continue to be that vehicle for someone else. You know, because a lot of times he will put me in a situation for another person to use me. See, in the beginning, I couldn't understand that. I used to think, well, you know, he did this and she did that. There was a reason for that. And I realized that today. Because look at all the people I used. So why is it that I've asked him, if you give me an opportunity to be your vehicle, then use me. And that's where I'm at with that today. Use me until you use me up. Because I know for a fact, and I hear this all the time, he ain't going to give you more than you can handle. But you know what? Whatever I handle, he's going to be able to handle. Or whatever he gives me, I'm going to be able to handle. So the bottom line is this program, I can't tell y'all enough about this program. Like I said, I'm coming up on 29 years. And I had a brother, and the process of staying clean from transition to the other side, like my late sponsor, several other people I can name, but we have a, if you stay right here long enough, you're going to find people that you love that are close to you that will transition on clean. And that's the beauty of this program, being able to successfully get out of here clean, because it's not guaranteed. I can tell you about my brother, 17 years clean. He decided to go back out and didn't get back. He wasn't able to tell that part of his story of transitioning out of here clean. But my sponsor and other people that I know of, other women that I know of, even with their illnesses, even knew that they knew they were going to die, chose to show up at a meeting, and they end up dying that night. I know of people of that magnitude. I know people that believe in this program. That this program, the transformation that will take place if you just don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens. Doors are going to close. Doors are going to open. You're going to lose loved ones. You're going to get divorced. You're going to lose a job. RIS going to come knocking at your door. You're going to get a speeding ticket like I got coming up here. But let me tell you the blessing in that. She gave me 3 warnings. She gave me a ticket because one of the guys in the back seat didn't have his seatbelt on. But that's the blessing. Once again, God does things for me, not to me. Slow down, Mike. Pump the brakes. You know. So, you know, if you hear, stay. Give yourself a chance. Because the sky's the limit. We are some talented people. Because there were mornings I woke up and I didn't have a dime in my pocket. But at the end of the day, I had got my man. You follow me? So, and I'm talking about some of the most outrageous stuff that you think of, that now you look back and say, no, you didn't. Did you really do that? You know, I mean, that's how we can look back now. And thank God we can look back now and laugh at that. You know, laugh at it. But I'm trying to tell y'all, family, this program, he has blessed me. I can't say enough. Sometimes I get chilled. When I pull up in front of my house, I have to pinch myself. And I'm not bragging, y'all. I'm telling you, because we don't hear enough of that. We don't hear about people going back from not even having a high school diploma, getting a doctor's degree. We don't hear about women not having their children, having all their children back. You see, these are things that we need to share with the newcomer, that Dreams do come true. My name is Michael. Thank you for letting me share.